we're going to go ahead and call the Senate Special Committee on the Arctic to order. My co-chairwoman, Senator Kathy Geisel, and I are present along with Senator Cliff Bishop, Senator John Coghill, Senator Donnie Olson, and excused today is Senator Gary Stevens, who is out of state on excused business. Today we have a presentation of our final report, an implementation plan, and the executive summary. We've got all three of those documents here that I'll just hold up since we've got gavel to gavel here. This is the final report, a copy of what it looks like, and then here's the implementation plan, and then these are my favorite, the little executive summaries, easy to read. We've got copies of them here in the room, but then they're available on akarctic.com. For you to go ahead and download or just read without having to print if you'd like them. And then we're going to go ahead and do an overview of them today. We have been making the presentations of them around the nation as well. My co-chair on the other body, Representative Bob Herron, and I made one in Seattle over the weekend, and it went very well. I just wanted to update the members of this committee about that. There were a few hundred people in the room, and it was important to make note that there were people there from Washington, D.C., and that was really delightful because, as you know, the Obama administration has just come out with an announcement about some wilderness closures of the 1002 area in ANWR that many people here have taken a leadership position against, and so it was particularly important that we could present our Alaska Arctic Policy Commission report that has real strong advocacy positions about economic development for the people of the Arctic. And so Representative Herron and I paid particular mention about the public testimony that we received all across the Arctic in Barrow, the people there talking in our listening sessions about how important it was to them that we allow drilling in ANWR to occur prior to drilling in the Arctic. In the waters of the Arctic, and that they knew how to drill and had observed safe drilling in Donnie's area there for over 50 years and had observed growth of the porcupine caribou population, jobs to occur for their families. And so we talked about that, and it was very quiet. People listened to that, and so I just wanted to bring that testimony back to people here before I started this PowerPoint that we had here today. So this is a PowerPoint that's available to any member of the Senate to take with them as they are out in their communities and certainly as they're out presenting to various groups that they're involved in. Kathy, I know you're involved, Senator Geisel, in a variety of outside groups. I know, Donnie, you speak often as well. And Senator Coghill, you've been involved in ALEC and other groups. Senator Bishop, I know you also are involved. And then just to anybody who's watching, members of the public, I offer that to you as well, and to staff that might be involved in educational groups. We have this here, and Jesse Logan is our, not only the staff to this committee, but he's been a really great staff, and I want to thank you to the Alaska Arctic Policy Commission. Thank you for your hard work. So without further ado, we'll go ahead and start this. This is the slide that we have that talks about the fact that Alaskans are at the forefront of the emerging opportunities in the Arctic. And our commission is 26 members. It's 10 that are members of the legislature, 5 that come from the Alaska Senate, elected officials, and 5 from the House of Representatives. This is a picture of our whole group in Kotzebue. It's a great picture, Russ. 16 come from the public, and they're subject matter experts. A lot of people from the public applied, and they were hand-selected by the Senate President and the Speaker of the House. They are a diverse group of people that volunteered their time. Lots of meetings that occurred by teleconference in some cases, and then in person. And there's a slide coming up here that will show you all the different places that occurred across the state. You can see there from Barrow to Kotzebue, Nome, Fairbanks, Anchorage, Juneau, Unalaska. Each of those meetings, as I said, incorporated a listening session as well as individual meetings among the members. Our vision for the Arctic is based on economic and resource development, a healthy environment, secure and safe communities, transparent decision-making, an Arctic that's an integral part of Alaska's identity. It's home to many Alaskans, the actual physical part of the Arctic, and it's an important part of our history, our culture, and our future. The Arctic presents multitudes of opportunities that are being realized with an increasingly accessible Arctic. As most of you know, but maybe some of you listening today don't, it was in 2007 that the Northwest Passage became open in both lanes for the first time with an ice-free Arctic. That has never fully closed now in the summertime. Over in the Northern Sea Route, that had been open for a couple of decades already, but now in our Arctic, it's open in the summertime. These opportunities are a result of strategic importance to Alaskans who are building on years of vision, hard work, and experience living and working in the region. We can't stress this point enough. Our Arctic policy is based on years of experience living and working in the Arctic. Senator Olson's people, of course, thousands of years living in the Arctic. In April of 2012, the Alaska Legislature established an Alaska Arctic Policy Commission to develop an Arctic policy for the state, to produce a strategy for implementation, and that's what you see coming forward here today, this formal three-part document. The commission, as I said, comprised of 10 lawmakers, 16 subject matter experts, conducted a baseline review of the Alaska Arctic by evaluating strengths, deficiencies, and opportunities. It incorporated a preliminary report, which we came forward with last January. That's also on akarctic.com, so you can see the comparison between the preliminary reports and then today the final report, which actually was produced January 30th, so we met the deadline and then coming forward today and in committee. The commission operated under the conviction that the state is an active, willing leader and a partner in Arctic decision-making with reliable expertise and resources. Furthermore, the commission has remained committed to producing a policy for Alaska's Arctic that reflects the values of Alaskans to provide a suite of options that capitalize on the opportunities that safeguard against the risks, and a policy that will stand the test of time. We hope that the policy that comes forward will act as a living document. Slide four. Are we on slide four yet, Jesse? Mm-hmm. Okay. Through the process, the commission has investigated and relied upon coordination among jurisdictions, cooperation at all levels of government, international, national, state, local, and tribal governments. We've sought to balance multiple values to protect, promote, and enhance well-being at the Alaska in the Alaskan Arctic, including people, flora, fauna, land, water, and other resources. Okay, there we go. Do you want to take this side, Kathy?
Sure. We have four vision statements that you'll find in the report. And so I'll just kind of briefly review them, and we're going to have slides on each one. So the first vision statement was to uphold the state's commitment to economically vibrant communities sustained by development activities consistent with the state's responsibility for a healthy environment. And I'm going to elaborate on that one a bit more when we get to that slide, because that was part of my responsibility on the commission, was that section. Number two, collaborate with all levels of government, tribes, industry, and non-governmental organizations to achieve transparent and inclusive Arctic decision-making resulting in a more informed, sustainable, and beneficial outcomes. Number three, enhance the security of the state through a safe and secure Arctic for individuals and communities. And the last one, value and strengthen the resilience of communities and respect and integrate the culture and knowledge of Arctic peoples.
So these value statements are incorporated into the documents, and they're the overarching view that the commission came up with. We went back and forth among all the different commission members to come up with them, and I think our hope is that they'll be reflected on for years to come. Slide six. This map shows the definition of the Arctic that was arrived at from the Arctic Research and Policy Act in 1984. We've adopted formally this definition of the Arctic, but I would just say that Alaskan policymakers tend to view the entire state of Alaska as the Arctic. And when we adopted our first bill last year, we looked at the Arctic as a whole, the state as the Arctic, when we looked at Arctic infrastructure, because we talked about the Port of Seward being a partner and utilizing that act as something that it could use. So I think you'll see many definitions of the Arctic, but the official definition is there. Senator Coghill.
Just for those viewing this map, if you'll notice, the largest ice field in North America just happens to be south of that line.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Kathy?
So we're on slide number seven. Great. So this is, of course, one of my favorite vision statements. And this is the one that refers to our commitment to economically vibrant communities with economic development. And this speaks to our natural resource development. So you see in there communities benefit from economic and resource development activities, improve permitting and regulatory processes. You can read those other bullet points. Senator McGuire will highlight this as we go on, but one of our big pieces was to emphasize people as we consider our policy. It's not about animals or ice or other things. It's actually about us, we, who live here in the Arctic. And the thing about this particular vision policy statement is that it really speaks to destiny control for individuals. And that by that I mean the ability to have a good-paying job. It's hands working rather than hands out, looking for handout. Senator McGuire referred to the community meetings that we held around the state, and when we were in Barrow, what stood out to me was when Edward Itta was sitting at the table, and we were talking about research development, and he said, "I'd like to see us stick a straw in Anwar and suck it dry." Those were his words. That was profound because he said, "I know we can do onshore development safely. We have a history of doing that." And he has seen, as well, three of us at the table are territorial kids here in Alaska. We were born in the territory. Senator McGuire came as an infant. We've seen the change that jobs have made in our state and economic development, economically vibrant communities. And so that is the driving force behind this first policy statement. It also implies workforce development for people regardless of where they live in our state, urban and rural areas. So that's the highlight I would give to this first policy statement, Senator McGuire.
Excellent. And so on the next slide, this one is collaboration with all levels of government and stakeholders. And the picture, though, that you see is of us in the Northwest Territories. And I really like this slide. It shows how the assembly members there meet. They meet in a circle. And it's an interesting way that they meet. They like to look at one another in a circular format. But it's reflective, and the reason we chose that, of how we like to view collaborative decision-making in the Arctic. Thinking about going to the different communities that we did and listening first And we're hoping our federal government will begin to really think about Arctic decision making by coming to Alaska as the as we take the chairmanship of the Arctic Council. They've agreed to hold 15 of the Secretariat meetings here, so that's nice. Coming here, listening to the Alaskans, the local stakeholders, the sovereign here, and sitting around the table with us, listening to us more and more as we go forward. That's the optimistic side of it, we hope. So we're hoping, and this is our vision and policy statement number two, that we can strengthen and expand cross-border relationships, international cooperation, especially bilateral engagements with Canada and Russia. We're particularly grateful to see that the governor has chosen to re-engage our membership in the Northern Forum. And at the legislative level, we're hoping to start renewing our relationships with the Dumas in Russia. When John and I were first serving in the House together, we had a healthy exchange program with the Dumas in Magadan and Khabarovsk and Sakhalin. I see Mr. Bradner there. He remembers those relationships. And they're very important because with Arctic relationships, even if our federal governments are not getting along at those higher levels, for Arctic relationships, our local governments can still get along. And we've proven that at the Canadian levels with the Northwest Territories, certainly in the Yukon Territory, in British Columbia, and so on. We can share best practices. We can talk to one another about economic development and those kinds of things. So that's what vision and policy statement number two refers to. Sustain and enhance state participation in the Arctic Council, working at the AEC Council level. We're trying to do that. We want to pursue opportunities to participate meaningfully as a partner in the development of federal and international Arctic policies, thereby incorporating state and local knowledge and experience. Mm-hmm. To strengthen communication with Arctic Council permanent participants, who include and represent the state's indigenous peoples. So our Gwich'in and other permanent participants, we've got Craig Fleener, who has now been appointed by the governor to serve as our special Arctic representative. He served some time as in the permanent participant level, and so that's been really great, and he brings that expertise there. We want to reiterate the state's long-time support for ratification of the law of the sea treaty. We certainly do have some concern there, of course, about sovereignty issues there, but by and large, we have that support. So that's slide 8. I'll go ahead and give slide 9 to my co-chairwoman.
Great. Thank you, Senator McGuire. So policy statement number 3 is enhance security of the state through a safe and secure Arctic. So you see the bullet points there. They're referring to emergency prevention and response, rescue capabilities, Coast Guard. But as you look at that picture, you see an aircraft, a 737 there at a rural airport. And when we have the ability to develop our resources, these kinds of disaster prevention and response become necessary, but these companies and this influx of workforce bring with them these capabilities as well. So these kind of still go hand in hand. We also talked a lot about broadband, the construction of roads to access not only resources, but interaction between communities. We talked about interties for energy supply between communities. So a lot of infrastructure discussion there, as well as that Coast Guard and the port along the Bering Sea and the need for that.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Senator Coghill.
It just needs to be emphasized. The traffic going down the Bering Strait has so significantly increased, and a lot of that is due to the northern Russian border coming down through the Bering Strait. So there's a national, international free passageway issue, obviously, certainly with Canada we'll deal with it. But I feel that we have a better relationship even with Canada than we do with our own federal government on this. And so that's why an advocacy role under this policy statement really becomes important.
Absolutely. And members, feel free to jump in, as you want to. We're, this is just that formal committee hearing to get on the record the presentation of it, but you're absolutely right. There's no question but that we certainly have, it seems like, a better relationship in many ways with Canada. And another point there, too, that the Coast Guard really does become the one branch of the military that becomes our favorite because of the ocean that we have surrounding Alaska. And that came up over and over. We're really, really lucky to have a constant Coast Guard presence in Jamie Robinson as an ex officio member. He was at every single meeting. And Admiral Ostebo attended as well, but we had Jamie Robinson at every single one of our meetings.
Madam Chair, I don't know if you made the comment to any of our national workers, but I think it was a Coast Guard that told me this, that Alaska has five times a coastal region than the contiguous United States. And so, and of course, it's obviously near Russia, near Asia, and those are big deals for protecting the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, and that is the concern that we have. As it stands right now, we still don't have a deep water port in the Arctic. As Senator Giesel was just saying in the slide, that was a big focal point of the Alaska Arctic Policy Commission, was the lack of preparedness, that we don't have these contingency plans in place. And so for the folks in Nome and Gullivan in that region, the mayor, of course, Denise Michaels, was a member, along with Senator Olson. She talked about this a lot, that the people there are certainly looking to the opportunities.
To enter a breakout session, press 1. For meeting admittance options, press 4. To mute your phone, press 5. For recordings, press 6. For Q&A options, press 7. For advanced features, press 8. To exit...
We're back on the record. Okay, so we are on slide 10. Is that correct? Okay, slide number 10. This is our vision policy statement number 4, to recognize Arctic Indigenous peoples' cultures and unique relationship to the environment, including traditional reliance on subsistence as a way of life for food security, which provides a spiritual connection to the land and the sea. To build capacity to conduct science and research and advance innovation and technology, in part by providing support to the University of Alaska for Arctic research consistent with state priorities. To employ integrated strategic planning that considers scientific, local, and traditional knowledge. To safeguard the fish, wildlife, and environment of the Arctic for the benefit of residents of the state. To encourage more effective integration of local traditional knowledge into conventional science, research, and resource management decision making.
All right, so the next slide just gives you pictures there of our final reports to the legislature. These are online, as Senator McGuire has said, at akarctic.com.
Great. Okay, over the course of the next few decades. Let's see, is this slide 11, Jesse?
Slide 12.
Slide 12, okay. Our implementation plan is designated around 4 lines of effort. Promotion of economic and resource development. With careful consideration and state investment, the Arctic region will continue to produce returns to the state and communities that ensure community health and vitality. Lines of effort number 2 will address response capacity. Response capacity will require strong partnership and communication to prepare for incidents, to respond and develop best practices, as we talked about with the big, large amount of ocean, the fact that we don't have response capacity to meet this growing demand. It's growing with industry and economic development, and there's a synergy with these lines of effort. Line of effort number 3 is to support healthy communities. The quality of life can be improved for the whole Arctic region without compromising the economic security and well-being of other communities or the state as a whole. Line of effort number three is to strengthen science and research. We believe that Alaska should pursue strategies to broaden and strengthen the influence of its agencies. We have academic experts in our local government and associations. Alaska should play a leading role in directing scientific research. We have lines of inquiry already that benefit Alaska in biology and geology, new technologies, especially in energy. And often, the research agenda is set already by national organizations. This research, while valuable, may not answer the questions that we as Alaskans would like to ask.
All right, so the next slide just kind of summarizes the commission's work. So we focused on what would mobilize the state's human, natural, and financial resources to address current needs. So again, you see the first one there, human resources. We have always been thinking about the people that actually live in our state and the development of those resources, both natural and financial. The adequate resources should be available for future generations, so always looking to the future, and understanding that there may be new technologies and demands will shift over time, so remaining nimble and responsive.
And so we'll wrap up. I know there's a couple of lunch and learns at noon. By just showing the final slide, I want to thank this shows all of the commission members. I have worked on a couple different task forces. This was by far the task force slash commission that has worked the hardest that I've worked on. I want to thank two of the members that are sitting here, Senator Kathy Geisel and Donnie Olson, and as I said before, Jesse Logan, who was staff to that commission. 2 years of really hard work, and each of the commission members also served on subcommittees. And the subcommittees had their own meetings on top of the meetings that we had throughout the state, and they worked really, really hard. They addressed important issues to the state with enduring questions that will come forward in the form of a policy bill that will be first heard in this committee next Thursday for the first time. The issue of the Arctic is something that, as I've said before, I think is Alaska's next lifeline. It has been described as the next thing that will fill the Trans-Alaska pipeline, and I do believe that. It's the jobs for our grandchildren, and of course there are challenges, and certainly global warming has presented many threats and change that have to be addressed by the people living in Donnie's area. And that's for sure, but it's also presented opportunity, and I think Alaskans will take those changes and challenges on in the way that we have all of the changes and challenges on as we have in the past. So I thank the commission for their work. What I'm most proud of is that we've put ourselves in the driver's seat, and just a couple of years ago it was the federal government that was positioning itself to be in the place that was driving policy. And now, when you look around in the other seven Arctic nations, they're talking about what Alaska has to say about Arctic policy, and that's really exciting. When you go to meetings in Iceland, when you go to meetings in D.C., Alaska is being cited, our words and our work. Through these documents, we have put ourselves in a position to be recognized for the work that we've done. We got ahead of the power curve for the first time instead of being in a defensive position. And it's through the the work that our university has done, our administration, our academic institutions, and so I'm really proud of that. And so I think we have a lot to be proud of. It's not to say that there isn't more work, and by far this isn't the end of the journey, but this is a template that we can come back to because of these vision statements, because of these lines of work. Now there's a placeholder there for future generations to come back to, the legislature through this committee and then the House. They can come back and plug into the work. And what I'm most proud of, again, is that there's a balance between healthy communities, a healthy environment, economic development, and as Kathy pointed out, the focus is on the people. And I'll just end with that point, which was that when we started this journey, it really was the case that what the federal government was looking at was a policy that was completely devoid of people. And our work in its first draft was all about people. And through this journey, we've at least got the federal government to look at the people, and that's progress. So I thank everyone for their work, and I look forward to our work here in this committee. We'll meet next Thursday to take our first look at the Alaska's Arctic policy that will make its way into the statute book. So thank you. We're adjourned.